Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. As we relax in gratitude for the opportunity to join with each other and with the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us for the purpose of our healing, our remembering who we are, and are forgetting who we are not. Let's affirm that we hear what we are meant to hear as we listen to the one teacher who speaks to us and through us, the one voice for God, as we detach from who we think we are, what we think the world is for, and all that we think is quote-unquote going on. We allow ourselves to be teachers of God rather than giving any more energy or power to the stories of the ego. We are always teaching what is our choice to be. Our choice is you, Holy Spirit. Tell us who we are. Speak for us and to us and through us. Amen. Twice a week now, we are going over the Manual for Teachers, which is a section that Tom and I both love. And what we did yesterday was we talked about who are the pupils and what are the levels of teaching. And I felt that afterwards we didn't have enough time to really go over the levels of teaching. And without even having to really consciously go inward, I got an astounding yes to that we needed to go over it a little bit more. Now, if you missed it yesterday, I will be editing it and posting it on gentlelessons.com, and I am including much of what Dove said after, because he continued the discussion about the levels of teaching and about the different types of interactions that we have in our curriculum in the course of our life. And so I'm going to reread, though, the section now, and Tom, Glad, and I are going to go over it, and then if anybody has any comments that they'd like to share, please raise your hand, and then after that, if there's nothing else, we'll go on to the next sections. It's on page 7, by the way, in the Manual for Teachers. So what are the levels of teaching? The teachers of God have no set teaching level. Each teaching learning situation involves a different relationship at the beginning, although the ultimate goal is always the same: to make of the relationship a holy relationship, in which both can look upon the Son of God as sinless. There is no one from whom a teacher of God cannot learn, so there is no one whom he cannot teach. However, from a practical point of view, he cannot meet everyone, nor can everyone find him. Therefore, the plan includes very specific contacts to be made for each teacher of God. There are no accidents in salvation. Those who are to meet will meet, because together they have the potential for a holy relationship. They are ready for each other. One of the things that stands out in that paragraph for me is that those who are to meet will meet, because together they have the potential for a holy relationship, and that they are ready for each other. That even though we might think that a holy relationship is where everything is always 100% peaceful, and that is the ultimate result of the transformation of a special relationship into a holy relationship. But what changes a special relationship into a holy relationship first is the purpose. What is it for? When two come together with a lot of conflict, or even very little conflict, and then start having conflict, that relationship, if the two of them are focused and wanting to heal and to get past whatever it is that blocks them from loving each other and from seeing each other as sinless, has already become and is transforming into a holy relationship, because the purpose has been set and it's a common goal. And another thing that I wanted to point out is that in the beginning of that paragraph where it says the teachers of God have no set teaching level, it is really important, and this is something that Dove stresses over and over and over again in this room, that you are a teacher of God if you choose to be. You have heard the call and you have answered. It doesn't mean that you have to now have a certain credential or a certain degree or a certain amount of experience standing in front of a group of people or on a podium or on a microphone. You had to have written 10 books or anything. In fact, everyone is encouraged to do whatever it is they feel will help them to develop that trust. To develop that trust and that understanding that they are that teacher of God, speaking to somebody or taking a microphone or writing or anything. The teachers of God have no set teaching level. No set teaching level. And then it goes on. The simplest level of teaching appears to be quite superficial. It consists of what seem to be very casual encounters, a chance meeting of two apparent strangers in an elevator, a child who is not looking where he is going running into an adult by chance, two students happening to walk home together. These are not chance encounters. Each of them has the potential for becoming a teaching, learning situation. Perhaps the seeming strangers in the elevator will smile to one another. Perhaps the adult will not scold the child for bumping into him. Perhaps the student will become friends. Even at the level of the most casual encounter, it is possible for two people to lose sight of separate interests, if only for a moment. That moment will be enough. Salvation has come. I was taking a salsa lesson the other day, and I was dancing, and there was a little kid, and I mean little, I guess his parents had brought him, and there's all different ages in the salsa group, and he must have been maybe 11, 12, I'm not sure. It's hard to tell, they grow up so fast, but he was not looking at me when we were dancing, and his whole demeanor and energy was really screaming that he was really shy and insecure and very intimidated by this. And, you know, he had to hold me and put his arm around me and put his hand up strong. And you can tell that he was nervous and he was insecure. And I asked for guidance, and I ended up looking at his shirt instead. And I started talking to him about his shirt. And his whole energy completely changed. His face lit up, and he smiled, and all of a sudden we were friends. You know, all of a sudden we had something in common, quote unquote. And it really wasn't about the form of it, what was his shirt saying or anything like that. It was that I was taking his mind off of the seeming differences, which is what we have in our head whenever we're comparing or feeling insecure, and returning it to the commonalities, the fact that we were both there, and that I was being loving towards him and accepting towards him. And in that moment, it was the whole energy of it was transformed. So that's just a seeming very casual encounter. We were rotating. I only spent maybe a total of maybe 7 minutes altogether dancing with this child. I don't even know his name. But at the same time, that was the opportunity. Now, another opportunity I missed. And that was where there was somebody coming and all the guys would go around in a circle and they would rotate. And this guy came up to me to dance. It was his turn to dance with me. And he was very strong and very intense, like, "So what's your name?" And very, very much like really, really there. And I felt this feeling like, wow, this is too much for me. What is this? Why do I feel this way? But it was too late. He grabbed my hand and grabbed my arm, my body, and we're away, we're dancing and everything. And I don't know what's bothering me. So I asked again for guidance. And I closed my eyes to do that, to get centered and to listen to the music and connect with that so that I can take my mind off of whatever it was that my brother was seeming to be doing. And I tried to do this, but when I opened my eyes again, I knew that I had missed that opportunity right then, before, to accept my brother exactly as he was. Now, I don't feel shame or guilt about this. I do understand that this is part of the healing, and it is for me then to see, well, what was it that was within my own mind that I felt uncomfortable about? And so I ended up talking about it and processing it out, and I realized that I felt that whereas somebody was shy and more introverted, there was no need to be concerned whether or not somebody would be crossing boundaries. But there really was no need to be concerned anyway. But I had a story that somebody who was really in your face would do something. And really, when I was able to pull out, I was able to see a time years ago when I felt that reminded me of it and start healing that. And so this is what I mean. You have two seemingly very casual encounters. And one is met with acceptance and love, and one is met with a resistance. And even those have the potential for becoming a teaching learning situation because I learned. I learned from it. You know, and whatever it is that he needed to learn from it, it was up to him whether or not he was learning it or not. But I know that I learned. And so now next week when I go back, I know that I will be different with the situation. And so that's what I mean by that. So even at the most casual encounter. And it is really important that we realize that every moment is a chance. Every single moment. Everybody that we think we might disregard as, well, this is not that important. This is just going shopping in the supermarket, or this is just talking to somebody briefly on the phone in tech support, or whatever we feel is so insignificant. It is up to us to remember that we are teachers of God and that our purpose is joining with our brother and seeing him as sinless. And that if we are looking at differences, then we are treating the encounter as a special relationship. And we can change the purpose right in that moment by asking for that guidance to see our brother as sinless and to join with him in acceptance and love every moment. So here we have, we just talked about the very casual encounter. And then we go on, where it says, it is difficult to understand that levels of teaching the universal course is a concept as meaningless in reality as is time. The illusion of one permits the illusion of the other. In time, the teacher of God seems to begin to change his mind about the world with a single decision, and then learns more and more about the new direction as he teaches it. We have covered the illusion of time already, but the illusion of levels of teaching seems to be something different. Perhaps the best way to demonstrate that these levels cannot exist is simply to say that any level of the teaching-learning situation is part of God's plan for atonement, and His plan can have no levels, being a reflection of His will. Salvation is always ready and always there. God's teachers work at different levels, but the result is always the same. Now that is the key. That is the key right there. Realizing that the result is always the same. The solution is always the same. And even though we might see differences, the answer is always the same. It's always to see ourselves and our brothers as sinless, to see ourselves and our brothers as one, It is always the same answer to all the differences that we seem to experience. And so somebody might temporarily have more, while somebody else temporarily has less. And what that really means is that one has accepted the atonement more, and they have awoken more, and now they are strengthening it, but they're still needing to learn. And in that, they teach their brothers to remember who they are and help them to see that what they need to accept is the truth and not the illusions. But again, it's all dependent on each brother listening to the call to return. And that's up to each person. So it seems like everybody's at different levels, but the beauty of it is that as we heal, and this again, Jesus has done perfectly, is that he's accepted the atonement, he's completed it, and he might seem to be at a different level, but in reality, we are all home. We may not think we are home, and that is the only difference. To the degree that we think we are not at home is to the degree that we are at a different level. So each level really is and represents where we think we are and who we think we are in this. So each teaching learning situation is maximal in the sense that each person involved will learn the most that he can from the other person at that time. In this sense, and in this sense only, we can speak of levels of teaching. Using the term in this way, the second level of teaching is a more sustained relationship in which, for a time, two people enter into a fairly intense teaching-learning situation and then appear to separate. As with the first level, these meetings are not accidental, nor is what appears to be the end of the relationship a real end. Again, each has learned the most he can at the time. Yet all who meet will someday meet again, for it is the destiny of all relationships to become holy. God is not mistaken in his Son. And so who hasn't had a relationship that seemed to work out and it was right and you guys were together and you guys are meant to be together and you just had some conflict, you had some intensity, and then it totally petered out, or you guys had some blowouts and it just completely ended within the illusion? Well, we get to a point where literally that relationship has expired its usefulness for us in our healing, because we have gone as far as we can go in it together. However, the relationship, especially if it quote-unquote ended badly, or we have held on to some judgment or resentment about the other person in our minds, that relationship is still kept for our healing by our own judgment. And in the end, since all does get healed, and we do eventually see our brothers as sinless as well as ourselves, all relationships, even if we don't seem to be in it anymore, through forgiveness, become holy. Become holy. We no longer wish anything bad to the other person. We no longer wish anything bad to ourselves. We've found peace, acceptance, and love. And we see our brothers as ourselves. And we've accepted the atonement. And so all will meet again, for it is the destiny of all relationships to become holy. And it is important that some relationships fall away. There's several people that have talked in the Course in Miracles community about how they've come together for a while, and then it was no longer right for them to be together anymore. And a common mistake is to think, well, I should stay with somebody, even if I don't feel guided to do it, because I must be judging him or her. I must be doing something wrong. I must be a bad Course in Miracles student. You know, what about divorce? Or what about separation and moving? And what about that? I mean, if we realize that we are one, I should stay and work at it and work at it. And sometimes we have gotten to the point where that relationship has literally served its purpose and we can't move any further in it. We can't learn any further in it. And we are guided to move on. And sometimes we are guided to stay And we are guided to heal whatever it is that's blocking us, because the Holy Spirit knows that that's what's good for us, for our healing, and knows that it's better for us to stay. But it's always better not to make decisions emotionally or from judgment, but just from that perspective of going within and saying, well, what feels like the next right thing for the highest good of all? But again, stay or don't stay, do as guided, but it will become a holy relationship. It will become a holy relationship. And the last part of this section, the third level of teaching, occurs in relationships which, once they are formed, are lifelong. These are teaching learning situations in which each person is given a chosen learning partner who presents him with unlimited opportunities for learning. These relationships are generally few because their existence implies that those involved have reached a stage simultaneously in which the teaching-learning balance is actually perfect. This does not mean that they necessarily recognize this. In fact, they generally do not. They may even be quite hostile to each other for some time and perhaps for life. Yet should they decide to learn it, the perfect lesson is before them and can be learned. And if they decide to learn that lesson, they become the saviors of the teachers who falter and may even seem to fail. No teacher of God can fail to find the help with a capital H he needs. There's a saying that says that we attract that which we feel like we are, and that water rises to its own level. And we will be attracted to somebody who's at a certain level of their healing, of their remembering who they are. And we will not be attracted to somebody who is in a position where they don't remember it. But it happens actually that even though, and this is just speaking in a romantic relationship or even in a friendship, that there are people that really have a charge and that we're attracted to be around, and an environment that we're attracted to be around, and it may not look like it is or feel like it is quote unquote right from the perspective of it's all happy, joyous, and peaceful. But there'll be still this feeling like that's for us, like we're supposed to be there, we're supposed to be there. And so that's one of the ways that there can be a very, very long-term, lifetime type situation with somebody. But really, the main way is when we're born into a family, or we have children, or we pick a lifelong mate, or something like that. And these are really long, long, long-term relationships where we really feel a sense of belonging, and that bond, that belonging, will keep us there to learn the lessons that we're both ready to learn. And whether we both learn it together or not is really irrelevant. I know there's been many stuff that my mom has healed before I have, or I have healed before my mother has, but we have both come through a great amount of healing, which was really our purpose for coming together in the first place. But the hostility and the craziness that we both went through before we got there was ginormous, huge. And so there seemed to be a lot to forgive. And now that all that stuff has been cleared away, and there's just maybe a thought here or an issue there. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, my mother and I have a wonderful relationship today, whereas before we didn't. Now, that is a perfect example of how something can appear quite hostile for some time and perhaps even for life. I know my sister and my mother are still not on speaking terms. But again, and I had said this yesterday, everyone comes into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and we never know what somebody's there for. We just know that they're there for something. There are no accidents in salvation, and every encounter is a holy encounter, and every teacher is a student, every student is a teacher, and when that student becomes that teacher of God, it's because they accepted the call. They heard it, and they accepted it. And they answered. They made that decision for God. They made that decision for God. And we come together to heal. And even though we are all teachers, there is that one teacher who speaks through us with a capital T. And he's who does it all. You know, we are just come with open arms and open minds and open hearts. And the Holy Spirit is what does this, what teaches us and heals us by speaking to us and through us. Again, there doesn't need to be any grandiosity that is all of the ego. There doesn't have to be any better than or less than or comparison of levels. It's all for the purpose of healing and joining and accepting the atonement, and that's really key. And to realize that every encounter, although how seemingly casual or how seemingly toxic, is all for us to heal. Every encounter is for us. Everything before us is for us. The last thing I'll say is something I mentioned yesterday, and that is that there will be people that come into your life, and you will know them before you even know their name. You will recognize them, and you will say, wow, I am supposed to know this person. I am just supposed to know them. And you won't know why, but as you do A Course in Miracles, you will recognize that person and you are supposed to come together for the holy relationship. And it's not necessarily supposed to look a certain way, but there is supposed to be a joining. It's just a knowing. And I've had that with many people now, and I mentioned that Tom was one of them. And Tom and I have a very close friendship now. When I first heard his name and when Tom first heard me, we both knew instantly and came to each other in recognition that day and told each other that we realized that. And it's just beautiful as we awaken to be even more clear when somebody comes into our lives that we know is going to have even more of an impact in our lives. And really, it's been a wonderful journey so far. So far, Tom, so stay on your stay on your best behavior with Tom as a really close friend. And again, it's just been beautiful. So I'm going to drop the microphone now so Tom can comment. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Hi, everybody. Let me just clip on my mic here. I don't have much to say. There's some stuff I talked about yesterday. I told a story and but what I wanted to add today is that I have experienced all three of these sorts of levels of teaching and learning. And I find that the first one, the casual one, is actually the one that requires our vigilance the most to take advantage of those opportunities. The other two levels are actually sort of provided in a more you don't have a choice kind of way. And so the third level of teaching is that I have several examples of my life with that, one being with my mom. And for a long time, for 25 years, we had a very special relationship, lots of guilt, lots of anger, lots of resentment. And when I was 24, my sister left. She moved out, and it was just me and my mom who were left. And at that time, we were already sort of getting into spiritual to spirituality, quote unquote. And I remember we talked about us being together for a reason. And we talked about that the purpose of our relationship was forgiveness. And even though neither of us at the time had any freaking clue what that meant, but because we both had a recognition of that, because we were both willing to do it, the Holy Spirit stepped into our relationship. How this whole thing started for me, it was by forgiving my mother for everything I thought she did. And now our relationship is growing to be very joyous. And my mom's doing the course, and we're just still together. It doesn't look like we'll be together for much longer. It's been quite a journey. It's taken 7 years for us to get this far. But we're both doing it, and it's wonderful. And the outcome of our relationship will truly be a blessing for humanity, not just for the two of us. So, but The second and third levels, they imply a sense of readiness. They imply a willingness on behalf of the two people that are involved for learning the lesson. Whereas the first level, although it still takes willingness, it takes place at such a casual encounter that the willingness does not need to be great. The result is still miraculous. The result is still the experience of love. So the second and third really implies that you're both ready to learn it. So, yes. Lisa says the levels happen because they are ready, although they may not know they are and what it is for. This course is all about relationships. It's all about learning to recognize our brother as ourselves, as the same as us, as sharing God's will, and to help our brother to recognize the same in us. That's what the teaching learning situation is for. That's why it says that the miracle is a kind of exchange where each gives salvation to the other, each gives forgiveness to the other. It's not a one-sided thing. You know, there's a lesson that says, when I am healed, I am not healed alone. Well, guess what that means? You know, that means that healing is shared. And unless it is shared, it is not healing. Jesus says in the Course that unless forgiveness brings a healing to you and your brother, it is an empty gesture. That is true. If forgiveness remains a fancy concept in one's mind and becomes the cover for guilt, then it brings no healing to anyone. So forgiveness is an actual thing, an actual action of your mind. Anyone who's ever experienced it knows what I'm talking about. And anyone who hasn't, you will. So I think that's about it. That's about all I wanted to say. We have 25 minutes left. So maybe we can go over the first little part of the characteristics of God's teachers. Are you good with? Okay, I'll drop the mic.